the championship week on the Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Somehow, who knows, because let's be real, fantasy hockey is, as some people said, 49% luck, clearly. Mm-hmm. We made it to the finals of our league, so now we're playing each other in the championship, and it's going to be a fun one. Last week, it would have come down to, I think it was 6-3. The final, if we would have played, and I would have lost save percentage by about 0.02. So I think we're in for a real close one this week. So we'll keep you updated. And I think on Friday, we'll kind of, on Friday's recap episode, we'll also kind of preview our matchup and how it's going. Anyways, so first we'll review this past weekend, though, and talk about our most impressive players. I might as well just say the Colorado Avalanche impressed me because I have three Colorado Avalanche players here on my most impressive players list. I'll start with Nathan MacKinnon, who had 4 games played, 6 goals, 2 assists, a +5, 4 pims, 22 shots on goal, 1 hit, and 2 blocks. He's almost on a 2-point per game pace through the season. It's
absurd.
You
went back a week, didn't you?
Huh? Only a week. Last 7 days. Oh, I did. this is all thrown out the window. I forgot that this is Monday. I thought this was Friday and we were going back 7 days. Anyways, I'm gonna do this anyways. Mikko Rantanen had a crazy weekend. I'm not gonna say the stats anymore because I went back way too far. But Mikko Rantanen had a great weekend. Nicholas Backstrom, for all the people who held on to him, because everyone was freaking out at the beginning of, is he gonna get points or not? He killed it, and through the last 3 games played, I know, a week, but 2 goals, 5 assists, a +3, 2 pims, 3 power play points, 14 shots on goal, 1 hit, and 4 blocks. So Nicholas Backstrom is doing well. Then Semyon Varlamov, he played extremely well.
He posted up a 9.74 save percentage, making 37 saves and 38 shots and 1 goal against Detroit.
Yep.
Detroit, but whatever.
But still, I mean, look, that's the thing with Varlamov that's impressive is he can face more shots and he actually plays significantly better. That's the case for a lot of goaltenders, but especially for Varlamov. So since you have the actually correct stats, how about you take us through the guy you are?
I want to see how Rantanen did.
Okay.
They only played 1 game, right? So he got 2 assists.
Yeah, there you
go. 2 assists, 1 power play point, 2 shots.
He's been a 1, over the last 14 days, Mikko Rantanen's been a 1.86 point per game player. So he's been kind of good over the last few.
Yep. All right, for me, Alex Pietrangelo is definitely the best of the weekend. He had 2 games played, 3 goals and 4 assists, +2, 12 shots, 3 power play points, 1 hit and 4 blocks. So he basically posted up week-long, like a good week-long stat on just the weekend. 12 shots in 2 games. He just really had it last weekend for some reason. Next up, Evander Kane. He got all of his points in 1 game, as I'm sure a lot of you know already. 2 games played, 4 goals, +2, 4 pims, 15 shots, 5 hits, and a block. So he has definitely had a resurgence since moving to San Jose, which is good to see. You have to assume he's going to re-sign there unless he really is that big of a deal in the locker room, but he's got it going on for sure. Next up, Wayne Simmonds. 2 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, +2, 9 shots, 1 game winner, 3 hits, and 3 blocks. So really coming through in all stats there. If you count game-winning goals, don't. But if you do, he definitely helped you out there. And then last up, Curtis McElhinney.
McElhinney. I think it's McElhinney.
McElhinney? Really?
I think so.
It's like McElhinney. McElhinney. God. Anyway, he only played 1 game, but it was a 33-save shutout. So if you spot-started him, which actually happened against me, but it was too little too late, so it didn't really matter. He really came up big for you in the absence of Frederik Andersen.
Yep. Oh, and then I'm moving on to mine, right? Yep, goalies. So,
did you do it again?
I did it throughout this whole thing. Now, Vasilevskiy didn't even play this weekend, actually. He might have played on Friday. But because they were supposed to play Budaj on Sunday, and somehow they decided all of a sudden, hey, we're going to call up Lindback and play him. So there you go. Or not Lindback. God, wow, this is a disaster. Vasilevskiy had a terrible last week. The guy I'm playing this week has him, but if you held on, he carried you through the season, and last week he put up a 5.51 goals against average and 8.39 save percentage. That's not really good enough. Moving on, Leon Draisaitl, not a great weekend from him. You know, if you expect, he's another one of those guys that you probably took in the top 3 rounds, somewhere in there, maybe first round, maybe second round, maybe third. If you took him there, you got to want more than that. Over his last four games, he only has an assist. He didn't get anything over the weekend.
He got an assist on Saturday. Okay.
Oh, yeah, he had the back-to-back. You know, and he had six shots in two games, so that's not terrible. But, yeah, you don't really want that. Moving on, Mark Giordano hasn't really done anything. He hasn't gotten points in a long time. Also not putting up much peripherals. Just not what you want from him either. I mean, he's about 96% owned, I think. So he's a highly owned guy. Everyone has him, and he's just not doing what you want.
Brennan actually had another assist. I forgot that 16th was Friday. So he had three assists this weekend.
Nice.
All right, moving on. I'm gonna pick on Colton Parayko here, and it's mostly because of how well Pietrangelo and a lot of the other Blues did. Parayko went up with two games played, no points, minus four, six shots, seven hits, and three blocks. So the peripherals were pretty good, actually, but getting no points when there's points to be had all over the place and coming up with a minus four is pretty upsetting. Yeah. Next up, Nick Leddy. What a disappointment. Two games played, no points, minus three, two PIMs, and one hit, so no shots even. It seems like his fantasy production dropped right in line with the Islanders' playoff opportunities, chances. I'm not sure what's going on there, but he definitely seems to be hit the hardest of the whole team. Next up, Tomas Tatar. He's really on here because I mentioned him as a good spot start for the weekend, and he did not come through. Two games played, no points, plus one, two PIMs, two shots, three hits, and one block. So he didn't even really have very good peripherals. Kind of disappointing considering he was on a decent line with Perron and Haula.
Yep.
But it is what it is, I guess. And then lastly here, Mike Smith posted up at two games played, 804 save percentage and 5.94 goal against average.
Fun.
Yeah. I think they're playing Arizona tonight, and Smith is going to be in again. So
he better get a win there.
Yeah, that's going to be... I think it's a good.
Wait, no. Riddick's just playing today. Mike Smith is confirmed. Yesterday there was some talk of Riddick playing.
Yeah, so he's playing the back to back there. Coming off of that, of getting smoked basically twice in a row. So good opportunity to start guys like Clayton Keller, Derek Stepan, those kind of guys, as we'll get into later.
As you know, now he'll get a shutout because you told him.
Probably,
play the other people. Moving on to people returning from injuries. It's a really long list, so usually Brandon goes through this, but I'll get us started, and then we'll switch off at some point. I'll start with Jake DeBrusque, who is an undisclosed injury, but he's been out for a little bit. So he'll come back at some point soon.
They're like ruling him from game to game at this point, so he should be anytime soon.
Exactly.
A lot of these are maybes, too, because people are like holding this stuff so close to the vest, and especially teams like Boston, where they don't really need to make a move. They can just kind of wait.
It's also kind of weird, right, because they don't necessarily need to be suffering from that specific injury only. They could just be resting them if it's on a playoff team, like you said, with Boston. So David Backes is the next one, who's a maybe as well. He had a knee laceration to cut it right up. You couldn't really tell until he was walking to the bench that it was cut. But I think from what I read, he's going to miss one game probably and then be back. But who knows? We'll see how that heals. Zdeno Chara, upper body injury, still out. Not much info out there. Patrice Bergeron, not playing tonight. He's practicing, though.
Maybe.
So he's maybe. And then Kyle Okposo has a concussion. Also might come back. But again, concussions can get better or worse. No time. Mm-hmm. Matthew Tkachuk, towards the end of the week, is kind of what they're eyeing. He has an upper body injury, but who knows? How about you take us through Seth Jones, who does know?
Yeah, Seth Jones, they haven't disclosed what's going on with him, but I assume he's probably just a little banged up, and they're just going to keep him out for a couple of games. They need to play him, though, so I don't know how long they're going to keep him out if they don't have to, which makes me think he's going to be in sooner than later. He's not in tonight. Yeah, they play tonight. He's not in tonight, but... I assume he'll be in their next game. Next up, Mark Stone. He's also a maybe. It's going to be later in the week if he does play, but he's coming off of a leg injury. Don't know too much about it, but next up, Brian Elliott. He had a muscle surgery in his abdomen, but he's been practicing. He's got to be pretty close to getting back now. They haven't really set a timetable as far as like when he's going to come back, but it seems like towards the end of the week is not... impossible.
Nope.
Next up, Vladimir Tarasenko, upper body injury. I don't think it's gonna be long term. They didn't really give much of an update about it, but it doesn't seem too bad. Andre Palat, who's been out for a long time with a lower body injury, looks to be coming back sometime this week. will be interesting to see how they shake lines up there. I assume he'll be playing with Point, but they might move him down and play him with Tyler Johnson.
Yep.
Next up, Frederick Anderson, UBI. We don't really know what's going on with him either. Don't think he's going to be very long term, though. It seemed like Mike Babcock's not too worried about it.
Yeah, but they might rest him at least through this last championship week of the playoffs, at least our championship week.
Yeah. Next up, speaking of Toronto again here, Austin Matthews. He should be back any day now. Also, we just don't really know with the shoulder injury. Sometime this week, almost certainly. And then last up, Riley Smith, upper body injury. Again, it's just very, very game by game. He's just gonna wind up showing up at some point, and it's probably gonna be this week that they'll just be like, he's playing, and then that's it. So that's it.
There you go. And then moving on to this week's teams to keep an eye on. The teams with four more games are Arizona, Boston, Buffalo, Columbus, Edmonton, Florida, Los Angeles, Montreal, Nashville, Pittsburgh, and Vancouver. And surprisingly, no team has less than two games, two or less games.
Yep.
So a stacked schedule this week, which means a lot of benching for some people. Not Brandon, because somehow he's a savant who doesn't have to bench anybody this week and has 11 starts on me. for teams that play off days, which is very, very important this week, it's going to be Anaheim, who plays Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Boston, who plays Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Best schedule by far. Buffalo.
As far as days off.
Anyway. Yeah. And then Buffalo plays Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday being super heavy. Mm-hmm. Montreal plays Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And then Pittsburgh plays Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday.
Which is probably the second best schedule.
Yes.
Same as Anaheim's, except you get Tuesday, which is still heavy, but not super bad.
Yeah, and Tuesday, Pittsburgh may be getting a recovering Carey Price. So... I don't know. That could be a good or bad thing, depending on how you view Carey Price this season. Moving on to the people we suggest for this week, and I'll start with a guy I actually picked up this morning, Sam Reinhart, 40% owned on Yahoo, or 40% owned on ESPN, 43% on Yahoo, two games played, two goals, two assists, two power play points, six shots on goal, two hits, and two blocks in his last seven games, or last 7 days. He's top line, top power play, and the return of Eichel, I think, will really spark him. I mean, he's already been doing really, really well. But
he's not playing with Eichel, but...
No, he's not playing on the line with Eichel, but
he's top power play
with Eichel. Him. Yeah, which matters. So that's interesting. And what's interesting is that Eichel is actually on the second line right now. My guess would be to kind of get him back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
But Reinhardt's actually playing out on the wing. So there is a possibility that they move Eichel up to the top line for O'Reilly and leave Reinhardt on Eichel's wing. Could happen, but I don't know if that will happen. Next up, Clayton Keller, who is, I think, perhaps one of my favorite pickups of the week. I didn't get to him, but there's a big discrepancy between ESPN and Yahoo here, where 65.9% of ESPN users have him, 47% on Yahoo. So if you're on Yahoo, there is a chance that he's available in your league. Three games played, two goals, one assist, and eight shots on goal in his last 7 days. But those peripherals leave a lot to be desired as far as immediate pickups or whatever, you know. Yeah, I like him a lot for points because he's on that top line, top power play. But the peripheral, if you're in a peripherals league, he's a tough sell, honestly. Michael Ferland, 26.7% on ESPN, 23% on Yahoo. Three games played, one goal, two assists, minus two, seven shots on goal, seven hits and two blocks, top line and second power play. Now, he really... is interesting because of the peripherals. He gets seven shots on goal, seven hits over three games. That's awesome. That's a very consistent number, I think, that you can rely on at least, especially since he's up there with Goudreau.
I don't know about either of his peripherals. They go up and down, but we'll see.
They do go up and down, but I do like him quite a bit. He does hit, which is nice, and that opportunity is there. He does get really few minutes for some reason, even though he's on the top line in second power play. He's down to about 14, 15 minutes a game. My last one here, and perhaps one of my favorite sneaky plays of the week, is Neil Pionk. Mm-hmm. 8% on ESPN, 2% on Yahoo. He's top pairing, top power play, absolutely killing it. He's on a four-game point streak right now. Three games played, five assists, a plus four, two PIMs, two power play points, four shots on goal, six hits, and three blocks over his last 7 days. So
kind of Will Butchery in the lack of peripherals, but he gets a lot more ice time than Butcher did.
That's the difference. Is with Will Butcher, the ice time was just suspect because he was only on the top power play. Here, Neil Pionk is on the top pairing and the top power play, and honestly, he is pretty much the guy on defense right now. We thought it was going to be Brady Shea. It's not. It's Neil Pionk. So he's a really, really interesting play, especially later in the week. The Rangers don't have a terrible schedule. They're just terrible in and of themselves.
Yep. So the funny thing about the players I'm about to mention is I have six, by the way. Five of them are currently owned in our league. And none of them are above like 35%.
Yep.
So first one, Jeff Petrie, 34%. I've had him since January, probably ever since Shea Weber was marked out. Top pairing, top power play, not going anywhere. Plays four times this week, and three of those times are on off days. So as we already mentioned, so you get those free starts. You don't have to worry about benching anybody. You don't have to waste your utility spot on a defenseman or whatever. It's a good option for Petrie there. Next up, Alexander Edler, 26% owned on Yahoo, top pairing, top power play, plays four times this week as well, and has two off days, including avoiding the heavy Saturday slate. So that's kind of nice with the Vancouver. I think he avoids Saturday with Vancouver. Next up, this is the only player not owned, and it's because he's hurt, probably. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. He has been not very good. Kyle Okposo, 18% owned on Yahoo. As we already mentioned, Buffalo plays three off days. Okposo is probably coming back tonight. In fact, I think he's already, he may have already played a game, but anyway, I think he's coming back tonight. And from what I saw, he was listed on like the fourth line or something, but I don't think they're actually going to play him there.
Yep.
So it's somebody you're going to have to pay attention to and see what line he's actually going to wind up on, because there is a chance he could wind up on a line with Pominville. Or not with Pominville. Who cares about that? Replacing Pominville on a line with Eichel.
Pominville's on your waivers in case he does,
yeah,
by the way.
There's Pouliot. The line right now is Pouliot, Eichel, Pominville. So if Poso can find a way in there and even better get on the top power play, great. Otherwise, it's just something to pay attention to. Might not be anything by the end of it. Next up, this is a one or the other type situation. Riley Nash, 21% on Yahoo, or David Backes, 22% on Yahoo. Backes has more kind of utility to him, especially if you're in a bangers league and a Pims league. And it seems like he's probably going to wind up getting top center spot again when he comes back, but we don't really know when that's going to be. And up until then, it's going to be Riley Nash, and Riley Nash has been good in that spot. So if you have enough add drops that you can like risk only being able to play Riley Nash for a game or two, he's probably worth it. If not, it might be worth waiting for Backes and then grabbing him for the end of the week.
Yep.
It kind of depends, because once Nash gets dropped off the top line, he's almost entirely pointless because he doesn't play power play.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything. I mean, we saw Backes; he already got a goal in those few minutes that he was on the ice with the top line. So, yeah. That top line is definitely worth it. Although if Bergeron's skating, also keep an eye on what Bergeron's doing, because he might be back sometime soon. And if he comes back, then obviously all those guys are completely useless.
Yeah.
Moving on to our top picks for tonight.
Riley Nash also got a goal in that game.
He did, because after Backes went out,
he got it on the power play. Second
power play. He didn't get moved up to the top power play once Backes went out?
Nope.
Okay. Moving on to top overall picks for tonight, I got to say Alexander Barkov and Evgeny Danadov lead my list, just because Niemi's on the other side. Montreal looks awful, and Florida's been able to score some goals, and they're fighting for their lives here. Johnny Gaudreau is my other one at Arizona. Johnny Gaudreau, he's been good. He hasn't been incredible, but he's been good. I think he is one of the best ones in terms of just matchup wise. I like the Arizona matchup and the Montreal matchup a lot.
Yep. For me, I've got Philip Forsberg at Buffalo.
Like that too.
Brendan Gallagher at home against Florida. He's only $5,600. He's been really good lately, especially with peripherals, which add up. And then Brad Marchand at home against Nashville. He's a little cheaper than the Barkov option. Obviously a tougher matchup, but I like the home, home ice advantage there. Jumping into value picks, we both agree on PK Subban at Buffalo. He's under the median price, or the mean price, so that's pretty surprising considering how good he's been.
Especially at Buffalo.
Yeah. And here's a player I just mentioned, Jason Pominville versus Nashville. He's so cheap that I feel like it's a... wait a minute, I have Marchand and Pominville versus Nashville. Who's playing Nashville?
Oh, no.
It's Buffalo. Buffalo's playing Nashville. So
Who's
Boston playing? It's Columbus. Oh,
it's Columbus.
Yeah.
And Bobrovsky's not in net. Korpisalo's playing.
So Brad Marchand, I think it's at Columbus, actually. But and then we've got, Jason Pominville versus Nashville. Super cheap at $3,500. And then I've also got Jeff Petrie here versus Florida at home. And then Derek Stepan last up versus Calgary, who's going to be playing Mike Smith, who has been horrible lately.
Yep. And just a note, Buffalo's playing Linus Ullmark. So
There
he has like one
Nashville.
Start this season and
one
start, a good start.
A 9.78 save percentage. He only gave up one goal. So he's been incredible in the AHL. 20-11-4, 2.44 goals against average, and a 9.23 save percentage.
That's
so
really good for AHL.
He's killing it down there. For me on value picks, like you said, we agree on PK Subban here. Drew Doughty at Minnesota. He's been incredible recently. A little bit more than a point per game pace. Really been killing it. And my last one here is going to be a very off the wall one. Arturi Lehkonen.
It's
definitely Lehkonen. And he shoots so much that even if he doesn't get a point, he gets a lot of fantasy points.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so cheap that he's worth it. So I like him a lot. His minutes have actually started going up a little bit. I'm actually maybe thinking of picking him up just because he's available in every league and his shooting is pretty outstanding. So that's going to be my last value pick, completely off the wall. And other than that, there you go. We'll keep battling for our spots. I'll try to win so then I can put next to my name in our podcast that I'm the fantasy hockey champion, not Brandon. But other than that, we will see you on Friday. Best of luck this championship week. And yeah, we'll see you Friday. Thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening. Boston's at home, by the way.